something for the weekend on Saturday. How are you? It is Trina Murray here, and we have got Patricia Murray on the line. She is an organisational psychologist, but you may have heard the ads on the radio for the HSA.ie, and they're talking all about workplace stress. So Patricia, you're going to talk us through this today. Can you tell me, first of all, what exactly an organisational psychologist is? I hadn't heard of it.
Sure, I can, Trina. Yeah, an organisational psychologist is somebody who studies psychology first and does a degree and gets, you know, good enough results to go on and do a master's. And the master's has to be in something that is specialized in organizational behavior. So how do people behave within organizations and systems and teams? Wow. In relation to each other and work. That's what I studied and that's what I am.
So you're the perfect woman to talk to about workplace stress. What is workplace stress? Because I think we all kind of have it from time to time, and then other people will really feel they are constantly stressed out in their job.
Yeah, well, the thing about stress in general, first for listeners, is, I mean, most people know intrinsically what it is, but it's really a feeling of being panicky, being overcome by challenges we feel we're not able to meet or we're not meeting, and having a panic around that or a sense of panic around that. So it's not like I feel challenged, I feel pressure, or I'm a bit busy, because we all can deal with all that, or even a little bit of stress. So the real stress is when it's ongoing, and clinically people would say if the stress is ongoing for between 2 to 6 weeks, you're feeling the stress, and usually there'll be secondary effects of stress, like you can't sleep, you're biting your nails, you're eating more or less, you're smoking if you're a smoker, you're drinking more, you're engaged in secondary unhealthy behaviors. So what workplace stress is, and what the Health and Safety Authority has an input into, if you like, is stress that comes from work, stress that is made worse by work, stress that is coming from something to do with the systems in your work. It might not be just the tasks you do. It might be the social world of work or the teamwork or dealing with people or, for instance, bullying or something like that.
Deadlines can change and then you're up against it, or you could be, you know, short on staff, particularly at the moment, I guess, because of COVID, or not have the tools to do the job that you need to do and not have the support. Or, you know, you hear it all the time. People leave a job and then they're not replaced and then everyone else has to pick up their work and they're already overstretched.
Exactly. I mean, one of the things that our tool actually measures or assesses, Work Positive is our tool, and it actually looks at everything you just said. So demands, which you've talked about there, the demands of the job, control, which is the control you've got over doing it, and support. And they're hugely associated with stress generally. So whether it's workplace or not, demands, control, and support, that little triangle has a big impact on whether you're stressed or not. So for your listeners, an example would be someone who's, even someone who isn't in work yet, but say someone who's in school, a teenager, and they might get very, very stressed because the demands placed on them, an exam, for instance, and the control they have over doing that exam, like the ability to study for the exam, having the books, having the right teaching, and then the support they get in terms of, do they have a warm place, someone being nice to them and speaking to them kindly and saying, how are you getting on? And those three things, if they're not in the right dimension, can cause someone to either flourish and feel great and do well, or do okay and manage, or be terribly stressed. Yeah. So it's a good example there of, for any one of us, working, retired, in school, whatever, it really is a mix of the demands placed on us, the support we have while we're doing that, and then the control we are given or we are empowered to have to do it better.
I'm sure there are people listening right now who feel sometimes when they're in work, they're questioning their own ability, even though they've done the job for years and they've done it successfully. But then because of those demands, they feel like they can't cope and they want to just quit, or they go, oh, I have to get something else. I'm going to have to get another job. So Patricia, what's the, and we can't all just do that. We can't all just go, right, I'm quitting every time we feel stress in a job. So what do you think is the best way to manage it?
Yeah, well, Trina, one of the things you just said there is important to say, it's not the best thing to just quit anyway. So even if you actually did win the lottery, it isn't a good thing in life to always quit the thing that stresses you. Resilience actually is, and we've often heard that word mentioned, resilience. It actually is facing down stress and overcoming it and finding the ways for you that make you come through stress. So if children never, or teenagers never, have exposure to that, then they don't become resilient adults. For any listeners who are thinking of moving on, think carefully about it first. Don't just do the move when you feel like it. Just think and strategize around it. Why are you moving if you're feeling like moving? Could you possibly overcome the thing that's making you want to move? And then move later. But don't leave because you're running away. Yeah. Leave because you're running towards.
Because I'm sure, Patricia, I'm sure that, you know, when people move into a new job, that comes with stresses as well, because you have to learn their way of doing things.
Yeah, and you know, one of the big causes of stress as well is change. So all of us during COVID have been stressed because we've had a huge amount of change and a huge amount of uncertainty. Again, whether it's work or not, uncertainty causes stress because we can't see to the end of what we're going to, where we're going to get to. And also change causes stress and fear. So we were in a lot of those things over the last 2 years. And what's happening now a little bit of what we're seeing in the Health and Safety Authority a little bit is people are now afraid of the change of going back to, because they know they're not going back to exactly the same as well. They're going back to a hybrid or a new model of working, or their eyes have been opened to new things. So they have changed. So a little bit of fear around at the moment in terms of what's what? Where are the parameters? Where are the known knowns that I used to have? And a little bit of flailing about not knowing. Now, a little bit of stress we can all cope with and deal with, but your listeners should really try and sit tight and do very little. Try and think about what it is that's causing the stress and then communicate those to somebody in the workplace. Also go to our own website. We've got help pages there on www.hsa.ie. And then try and strategize yourself into thinking, what is it that I'm good at coping with? What am I bad at coping with? What can I do to support myself or get others to support me? And how can I get control of the situation? Minimize it as much as I can.
Would you say, Patricia, you mentioned about going to somebody, would you mean there go to management, or would you mean talk through it with a colleague who might be kind of experiencing the same thing to try and flesh it out and see how you can improve things?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I'd say talk to somebody who's a manager or somebody who's, in the employer position. If you're really feeling that you've got some issues, try and talk to someone who's the manager or supervisor saying, like, what's going on? Can you give me some clarity around this? Obviously, everybody can always talk to colleagues, but I would say be a little careful who you're talking to colleague-wise, because you don't want to stress somebody else and you don't want to have stress contagion so that everyone's talking about the same distress and no one's actually seeking any assistance.
Yeah, everyone's giving out about the same thing, but they're not actually doing anything about it. Yeah,
And we're all subject to this kind of groupthink. So if five people are saying the thing is this way, we kind of don't even look for anyone else. This is how it is. But it's often not how it is. So, you know, a little bit of talk to someone and that's not getting a solution focus. Stop doing it and move on. And even a little short email, just wondering about this and this. These are my priority areas. Can you give me some clarity on it? Just a bit concerned. It's better to communicate it in an easy, clear, short enough way, and also to prioritise your issues, not to bring every single thing that bothers you forward, but just to prioritise.
Yeah, not the big, long email where you give out about absolutely everything. And also, you want to look professional, I guess. I mean, people are probably afraid of going to their boss and saying, look, I'm struggling with this, this and this because there's too much workload or whatever the case might be, because they don't want to look like they can't manage a challenge. They don't want to look weak. But it's important if you are kind of feeling a bit snowed under to say, look, this is the reason why I might need an extra day or an extra 2 days to get this done. And you'll probably find that they'll be perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, it could be. And also, it's really how you frame things, isn't it, for somebody? Just kind of think to yourself, who's the person I'm communicating this to? What can I do to offer a solution? So if you're saying the thing quite clearly, like, this is the problem as I see it, this is how I'm experiencing it myself, and this is a temporary situation, this is my proposed solution, and are you okay with that, or do you want to talk about it a little bit? So you're really doing three or four things in that little chain of an email to say, you know, I'm framing it so that it's kind of doable and it's a solution, rather than a big, long diatribe of just kind of giving out with no solution.
You'll find when people are feeling a bit overwhelmed in their job, they'll think to themselves, oh, I just need a few days off. I need a week's holiday. Would you recommend doing that when you're feeling overwhelmed? Because you're coming back to an even more stressful situation because all the work has mounted up.
Yeah, I mean, that has happened in the past for sure. And there's been some court cases even around that kind of scenario where someone's been out. And obviously, if somebody is out for a sick reason or for sickness absence and their work then piles up, that would not be acceptable. The employer is duty bound to make sure that doesn't happen if someone has been forewarned of a stress issue. But what I'd say to people really is try to think what works for you yourself. Some people would think, I can't take a holiday because, you know, you take yourself on holiday, unfortunately, sometimes. And I know I've been that soldier where I'm thinking, this is not working because I'm taking my head and all the issues on the holiday with me. And I really should have maybe spent a day or two while I'm in work just trying to be strategic and sort out the problem. Sometimes what we do is we get bogged down in doing. And we say, I have no time for that thinking. I have no time for that long-term strategizing. Whereas even research shows the amount you benefit by doing is kind of tipped to a certain extent. That's as much as you can do properly. And then you better stop doing and sellotape down the learning from that doing and then strategize around, you know, what's been beneficial about it and how could you do it a little bit better next time. So I would advise people to maybe take some time while you're in the working day and sit and try and think about what's going on, what's working for you, what's not. Don't run away from it and try and be honest with yourself too, because some of us, what we do is we do the work we like. We leave the work we don't like until the end, and then we try and just shove it into the last half an hour of the day. And that's not enough time for it because we actually aren't the best at doing things we don't like doing.
Yeah.
So if you need to reorganize your day to maybe do the things you don't like first and give it a little bit more time, and then give yourself less time to do the things you like doing. Yeah. I know it doesn't sound nice, but what does happen out of that is you get to like more the things that you didn't like because you get good at them.
Yeah, I always like to do that. Get rid of the things that you don't enjoy first and then they're done. Ooh, I've always been that way. Even in my school days when it came to homework, maths was always first. Because there is a saying as well, you can be a busy fool, can't you?
Yeah, well, you can be a busy fool and a lazy fool, and I've been both myself, for sure. But I mean, the thing is, what you're trying to do is allow yourself be a little bit of a fool and not make yourself feel that you've got to be perfect all the time. That's one of the other reasons why people get stressed, because they have a voice telling them that they have to be good at every single thing. And they know it's not possible, but they still, and they come to us with complaints about different issues, and I'm talking to them, and I see at the end, you just want to be great at everything. Why should you be great at everything? Sometimes you have to say to people, just try and be okay at some things and then be great at the things you really are naturally great at.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you in a sec just about, you know, maybe some tips for what we can do first thing in the morning when we come into our office, if we're working in an office, of course, things to kind of make the day go a little bit smoother. But there are people who find it very difficult to switch off and to just go home, and even if they're working at home, it can be even more difficult to just switch off. And then there are other people who, on the dot, it's 5 o'clock, they have the coat on, the computer's already switched off, and that can really annoy colleagues, can't it?
I mean, when you were describing that, I was just thinking for a moment, I was brought back to my school days where I was always sitting ready before the bell rang with my backpack to run out into the playground or whatever. And so sometimes we have these habits from, you know, from the past, that we just got into a habit of doing certain things. And you'll find that most people, if they're enjoying the work they're doing, and if they're enjoying the collegiality, and if they are engaged in a task that's quite trying, but, you know, it's testing them in a way they like, they won't be racing home at 5 or 5:30 or 6. Because most of us, if we like doing something, then we're engaged in it while we're doing it. And we actually lose track of time. We just don't know we're losing track of time because we're in the thing. So one of the interesting things research shows us is based on this very interesting old psychologist who's long passed, but it's Sitsang Mahali, which is when we're in the flow of doing something, we're not realizing that we're doing something we like. So we don't report. No one says, I had a fabulous afternoon yesterday, I was so busy. But they think, oh, I was just busy. But they say, I had a fabulous evening at the theater, because then you're in a different mode. But when we're doing things in work we really like, we just tend to not be conscious of them. So I would say leave something you quite enjoy just for the last small task of the day.
Yeah.
Something that you enjoy doing. And then, and also, before you leave for the homeward journey, jot down a few things that you want to do first thing in the morning when you get in. Because it's really nice when you go in that you're not trying to think again about how do I continue my week of work? I've forgotten about what I did yet. You've got a little note there saying things to do Tuesday morning, don't forget. And a few nice things and a few things that you just need to get charged. Phone calls, emails and other things. It's kind of a nice carryover for people, so it starts the day quite nicely. So ending the day with a reminder for the next day and then starting the day with that. Kind of close the week on.
So getting organised, I assume, can totally change how your day and your week is going to go in work.
Yeah, again, this isn't one size fits all. I mean, some people are naturally really organised, and you see them yourself, I'm sure, in your own offices. Some people have really organised desks, and some people not so much. But the people who don't have the organised desk doesn't mean they're not organised. They're just not maybe natural administrators. So they can be very organised in their own heads. And basically what it all happens is in
this
our heads,
is me.
Right?
This is me.
That's where it all
organized
happens.
Chaos.
So that's the important part. So if in your head you've got a little section that is playground and you've got a little section that is listening to music and another section that is work, it doesn't really matter if it's a little bit chaotic around you. That just suits your nature.
My pal Aoife, who works in the office, she almost gets sick when she sees my inbox, my email. She's like, I don't know how you can work like that. How can you work like that? Because she is super, super, super organised. And I'm just the complete opposite, but I get the stuff done.
Yeah. And also somebody thinking that would, you know, make them fearful. It's good that she knows that. That's just all that means, though, is she doesn't work well like that. Other people do. Introverts don't behave the same as extroverts. Is one better than the other? No. You know, people who take a lot of time to make a decision and some people who make the decision very quickly, is one better than the other? Not necessarily. People do things by instinct. Are they worse or better than people who do things through kind of long, analytical, you know, thinking through? Not necessarily, because usually instinct is informed by previous decisions. So I don't like the one size fits all thinking. And we've all been through that a lot with the whole COVID experience where we're all in it together. And I think there's time now for people to be able to be different, celebrate their differences. We don't all have to be the same type of person.
Yeah,
well, you just have to kind of know yourself and what suits you, and then go with what suits you. And if it stops suiting you, or if it starts changing, or if you find yourself getting more stressed or thinking about work on Sunday and being worried, then it's time to think, okay, something has changed. The old habits don't suit me anymore. I'm going to have to look at myself and look at the work and sit down and try and, you know, strategize around it. And if it doesn't work, speak to somebody about it. And if that doesn't work, then I go to my manager or my employer and say, I've got some solutions. What do you think? Can we sit down and talk about it?
Could you give us a couple of ideas on what might suit some people to get organized for the week ahead? What are the a couple of things that we can do in work when we go in first thing in the morning that might make things run a little bit smoother for us?
Well, some of the things first for the weekend are, and this is just to make the week smoother, is to do things at the weekend that you do not do during the week. So I know some people, they do their gym or they do their walks and stuff. They do it all through from Monday to Friday and at the weekend. It's quite a good idea to have things that you just do at the weekend and things that you just do during the week. So even if they're just slightly different, if you do a walk, if it's a route, so you have things that are in the working mode of the week. So Monday through to Friday, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then on Friday, you do a different thing. So you're really making your mind really relaxed, not just by saying to your mind, relax, and not just by knowing it's Friday, but by doing different things on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then doing something different on Sunday night. Just a little habit that you've got that you do every Sunday night to ritualize it, and that prepares you for. And people sometimes do it. I know some people who just always go to bed a little earlier on a Sunday. They've got some routine that they have on Sunday evening, which actually does prepare them for Monday. And then obviously a good idea during the working week, day-wise, is to have different things that you do from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, both in your leisure and in your work life. And also a good thing just for your working day is to bring some nice things into your working day. So you can always take a 10-minute read of an article or ponder on something that you're interested in intellectually or philosophically, something nice that you do and you have there in your bag or in your jacket that you can just do throughout the day. And obviously the main thing that we get from work is the social communication with others. And we all got to know about that when we were in COVID and we were in lockdown. So we don't even realize the benefits we get from just looking around us, looking at the window, looking at a different scene, getting on the bus or the dart, overhearing a conversation, looking at some cute baby that walks by or whatever it is. So just be open to and aware of those things too.
Well, I think one of the things I need to do is make a list of things to do and then tick them as I go. Patricia, thanks so much for all that info today. You're very soothing to listen to. I have to say, I could talk to you all day.
Not everybody thinks that. Thank you very much.
Patricia Murray, organisational psychologist. She has it all summed up there. And if you need some help or some advice on dealing with workplace stress, you can go on to hsa.ie. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Trina.
Bye-bye. Bye. It is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.